just wanted to take some time to just, in a few minutes, just to wrap up here and to encourage you. Praise God. You know, before the curtain went up this evening, I asked all three of them. I just said, just keep it real. You just be you and you just keep it real. You let people know how amazing God is and how he stepped in and intervened. And God wants to do that for you tonight. He wants to intervene, but you have to surrender. You have to completely surrender to Jesus Christ. You know, there's an old term that used to be used a lot when I was growing up and I was going to church, and my youth pastor used to say, you gotta be sold out. I didn't know what that really meant. It sounded cool. He'd sing it. He'd make it rhyme. He'd rap it. He did everything to get our attention. You gotta be sold out, no doubt, for Jesus Christ, because he is the life, sold out. Hey, watch out now. Praise God. Listen, in Mark chapter 10, there's this story. As Jesus was setting on his journey, always traveling, always moving, always touching lives, always meeting people right where they had a need. As he's on this journey, a man ran up and kneels before him. And he asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? It was a rich young guy, a millennial, we might say. He's rich, but he runs up to Jesus. Not walk, not strutting, not casually, but he runs. He's desperate, not for a physical change, but for a spiritual change. And he kneels, actually. He falls to his knees, which was really an act of respect unto Jesus. But this young ruler didn't understand what it was to have a relationship with Jesus. There are many even today that will come running in to the church simply out of respect, but they don't have a relationship with Jesus. There are a lot of good people that will do a lot of running to the house of God, running to this place, this church, making sure they're on time, but do they really have a relationship with Jesus Christ? It's a big difference between simply respecting God and having a relationship with God. The relationship with God is all the difference. So on the outside, it looks like he's doing all the right things when he comes running up to him, he kneels before him, and there's enough there in his personal life where he realizes that something does have to change in me, but he doesn't fully understand it all. So he comes before me, he says, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And I want you to know, no one can really inherit eternal life because we were all born sinners. We were all born a mess, but we are given this wonderful gift of eternal life. It's a free gift. He didn't understand that. So he just goes, how can I inherit it? How can I get this eternal life that I've heard? And Jesus says to him, well, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. And it's not that Jesus was trying to say to this young man that he wasn't good. It's just that this young man had misplaced the word good when referring to the great one. You see, God is good. He's not just a good God. God is good. And what this young man didn't understand about the good teacher is that Jesus and God is one. And when God sent his son to come down on this earth to save us from ourselves, God sent himself in the form of his son, his only begotten son. And Jesus said it when he was walking the earth. He said, my father and I, we are one. So if you see me, you see the father. And if you see the father, you will know that God is good. God is good because I'm here. God is good because I represent him, and I'm here to set you free. And that's the good news. The good news is Jesus. And this young man didn't understand that. And so that's why Jesus kind of flipped it on him and said, no one is good except God alone. Then he goes on to say, you know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Jesus kind of gives them these commandments, knowing that he knows of them already. And the commandments represent scripture. The commandments represent the word of God that corrects and the word of God that receives us just as we are. And so he says, look, you know the commandments, right, young man? You know them. And the young man responds and says, teacher, all these I have kept from my youth. Now, I'll be real with you. I think he was lying. I'm going to go a little further. Jesus knew he was lying too. Sometimes we'll say things because we just want to sound good and look good. And we always want to make a good impression, not realizing that you and I can come to Jesus just as we are. Failed, flawed, sinners. Our behaviors, those things that we have done in life that has separated us from a holy, righteous God. And yet God in his grace invites us and welcomes us. And we get that right here in this moment in response to this lying, young, rich ruler. Verse 21, Jesus, looking at him, loved him. He looked at him and he loved him. I mean, here it is, brother, coming up to Jesus, acting like he knows all of the commandments, acting like he lives his life according to this word. He came running up to him. He knelt down. On the outside, it looks like he's doing everything he's supposed to do right and saying everything he's supposed to say. I'm sure he was really good with words. Some of you know what I'm talking about. There's a lot of people here today that can talk a good game, but they're really losing. Just because you can say a lot and talk a lot, just because you can articulate well, doesn't mean it is well with your soul. There's a lot of folks that have achieved because of their degrees, their career, their education, their status in life, their achievements, their bank account. There's a lot of rich young rulers. There are folks here, you might have 2 and 3 degrees, bachelor's, master's, doctorate. Oh, refer to me as Dr. So-and-so. We only got one person that has their doctorate in my family. It's my youngest brother. Oh, he loves it too. I'm the oldest, and I got 2 younger brothers. But my youngest brother, he went on to get his doctorate in engineering or graphic animation, whatever you call it. He's got all these, it's a list of things he's got going on. And he just loves the sound of Dr. Ham. I'm glad he loves Jesus, though. And so Jesus looks at him. He loves him. Despite what this young man thinks about his own status in life, Jesus loves. Despite our pride, Jesus loves you. Despite our selfish motives, Jesus loves you. Despite our religious ways, not even knowing what it is to have a relationship with Jesus, he loves you. Despite your circumstances tonight, he loves you. Despite the mess that you're making right now in your life, he loves you. Despite the turmoil and the trials that you're having to endure, he loves you. And he's looking at you, and the eyes of the Lord are upon you. That's the good news. And I want you to know that tonight, that he loves you. You can talk a good game all you want, but he loves you. You can search far and wide for some type of satisfaction or success or purpose in life, but it doesn't matter to him. He loves you. There's nothing that you can do to achieve his love. There is no failure that you have brought upon yourself that will stop the love of God He loves you. You're loved. And in this moment, Jesus looking at him and loved him and says, you lack one thing. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven and come, follow me. Yeah, you look at the commandments. Yeah, you come and you bow down. You came running to me. And yeah, you want to know what it is that brings spiritual satisfaction. Well, here it is. It's salvation. You got money. You got success. You talk a good game. You're alive here on earth attempting to do all of these things and the pursuit of life, right? But you lack one thing. Me. You lack one thing. The Savior. You lack one thing. Jesus Christ. You lack one thing. The cross of Jesus Christ. You lack one thing. Freedom in Jesus Christ. The one who came and died on the cross. Died for all of our sins. For all of our mess ups. For all of our failure. Died. Took it upon himself. Our greed. Our pride. The lust of our flesh. Every wicked and dark thing. He bore it upon himself on the cross. And that is salvation. When you receive and believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He says you lack one thing. Me. Salvation. Brothers and sisters, it is the one thing that you need tonight. Salvation. The one thing that's needed. You could have 100 problems right now going on in your life. You could have 1,000 problems going on in your life. Sometimes, folks, I feel like I got 100,000 things going on in my life that I'm trying to work out, sort out, figure out. But I'm realizing that the one thing that's important is my life committed to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Verse 22, the scripture says he's disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. I mean, you got to picture this with me. He came running up to Jesus in front of everybody. You dropped down on your knees. You pleaded with him and said, What is it? What do I got to do to have this eternal life, this wonderful gift? See, he didn't fully understand this wonderful gift of eternal life, because if he truly did understand what it was, he would have never walked away. No, you really didn't want it, actually. You just wanted to look good. You see, receiving Jesus Christ is a selfless act where he takes priority in your life. Listen to me. Some of us want this. We want to be here. We want to come into church. We want to smile. We even want to learn the songs. We want to get to know people. We want to shake Pastor Carter's hand. And some of you are enjoying that time in the lobby. Can I get an amen? Amen. It's a blessing. And it's a joy, right? To get to know someone that you appreciate or that maybe you see from a distance. Well, let me go a little further. Jesus Christ has his hand extended to you. And not only does he want to shake your hand, but he wants a relationship with you. He wants you to follow him. He is the way, he's the truth, and in the life. He has eternal life waiting for you and I. Jesus has his hand extended. Matter of fact, both hands were extended on the cross, making a way that we could receive this gift, not that you would be able to inherit it, but that simply you would have it if you just take the hands of Jesus Christ. The hands of grace and the hands of mercy are extended to you so that you can live this life of freedom and joy and healing. But there are so many that when they realize that it has to be a complete surrender to God, you got to sell it all. You got to be sold out. You got to remove that stuff that's been in the way of your life that you've been holding on to, hoping that this would be the completion and satisfaction of life. Jesus does not like to be shared with nobody. Because the package that Jesus has to offer leaves no room for worldly possessions. The riches of God are greater than the riches of man. So if you want this spiritual stir, this spiritual awakening, if you want this freedom, if you want eternal life, because that's what you came and asked for, brother. You asked for eternal life. I'm giving it to you. It's me. You want to walk the streets of gold with me? I'm telling you, just follow me. You want to see what it's like to walk the broad street of gold? You want to see my 14 plus gates with diamonds and pearls with names that I can't even pronounce correctly? Just sell a few things. Let go. Let go of your pride. Let go of selfishness. Let go of unforgiveness. Let me come in and be savior of your life. Don't walk away. Don't walk away, young man. Don't walk away, young girl. There's no reason for anybody to walk out of these doors like the rich young man with his head down, disheartened. There's no reason to walk away from your healing. There is no reason tonight to walk away from redemption. There is no reason to walk away from the Savior, because it's all in his hands. Freedom is in the hands of the Lord. There's grace in his hands. There's power in his hands to transform your life. It's all about Jesus Christ. And so what happens here is we look at this and we realize that there is a young man that it walks away from the freedom that Jesus offers, from the treasure of heaven that is waiting for us. Why walk away from that gift? Why attempt to juggle the things of this world with the greatest gift that's ever been offered to man, and that is the love of Jesus Christ? It can't be shared. Scripture says this. Jesus looks around, says to his disciples, and Jesus is always looking around for someone that's going to embrace his love. I can't imagine this moment. The disciples standing around and people standing around. And he just offered him eternal life. I've given you the answer just to say, release, let go of these things. Because his possessions meant everything to him. His money meant everything to him. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Jesus wasn't saying, make yourself broke and follow me. No, what he was basically saying is, what's more important to you? Is it your money, your wealth, or is it me? Are you really into me? Would you give it all up for me? He says, he looks around and says to his disciples, how difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said to them, children, how difficult is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And they were exceedingly astonished, and they said to him, well, then who, Jesus, who can be saved? Jesus looks at them and says, you ready for this? He says, with man, it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God. You see, the young man never had to walk away because God was going to do all the work for him. The young man walked away still thinking that all of this that was about to happen, the effort to receive eternal life, he thought it was going to have to be something he'd have to do in his own strength. You see, the riches that God was talking about, the difficulty of it, really represent the idols that we have in our life. Those things that we have elevated above God in our personal life. Those idols you need to let go of. Money, success, clothes, cars, friends. We make idols out of our own friends. We elevate our friends above God, our best friends, our boyfriend, our girlfriend, even husbands and wives. And there is nothing above God, because anything else below God cannot liberate you and set your soul free. Will you stand up with me? And we're gonna pray. I'm gonna ask you this question. And if you can answer it in your heart, then I wanna pray. I wanna pray with you right here up front. What are the idols in your life that you need to let go of? What idols do you have in your life that you attempt to share with God? And if there are idols tonight, let them go and let God be Savior. I want to pray with you. Don't walk out disheartened. I want you to come down here and I want to pray with you tonight, and I want you to let go of whatever idols you have stored up in your heart. These idols being things that you praise, things that you're committed to, things that have separated you from the love of Jesus Christ. Whatever addiction, whatever relationship that you need to let go of tonight, it's time to let it go. Whatever guy, whatever boy, whatever girl, whatever man, woman that you've been holding on to, and you wait each and every day. It's what you wake up for, that satisfaction from that other person, and yet you're still empty in your soul. Let go. Don't walk out disheartened. Let Jesus be Savior. If you want eternal life, if you want freedom, if you want healing, let go. Even as I'm talking now, just step out of your seat and you come now. Be desperate for a change right now. From the balcony to the main floor. Let go. Let go. If you came with a friend, ask your friend to come with you. But let go tonight and come. Worship team's gonna play, but let go. Let go. Let go. Some of you have been sitting in front of your TV screen too long. I'm serious. It's become an idol. It's one show after the next, one show after the next, one show after the next. And really, when you come into God's house, it's just religion for you, because the relationship that you really have is with what you watch on television or with whatever you watch on your phone or your laptop. Let go. There's others. Let go. Let go of the idols. Let go. You come down here right now. There's an exchange that needs to happen tonight. It's freedom in Christ Jesus now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You keep coming. Keep coming. Don't be ashamed. Every believer in here has had to let go of something. Keep coming. From the balcony to the main floor. Let go Let go. Don't walk out like the rich young ruler, disheartened, stubborn in your own pride. Let go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, look up at me real quick. You know, I grew up in a Christian home, and I understood who Jesus was because I had two parents that always told me about the love of Jesus and who God was in my life. When I got older in my later years in high school, my junior, senior year, suddenly I felt like I could balance out my wants with what God wanted. And I was no longer sold out. And I went into my freshman year in college with my own game plan. And I could come running into church any given Sunday and get my worship on. But at that point in my life, it was just religion. And I had walked away from a relationship with Jesus. I was committed and knitted to my own pursuits in life. I had plans. I was going to be a professional soccer player. And I was going to be a professional actor. I mean, I had plans. I was going to be acting with Denzel Washington at this point in my life. I mean, I knew it. I wrote him a script and everything. I was ready to go. And I had all these plans. I had all these plans with God. Like, you know, it's like, God, you know, here's you for this time that you get. And then, but here's me as a professional, you know, just an artist and athlete and all of these things. And I'm going to take New York City by storm. And I'm going to be worldwide and career and film. I mean, it was all laid out. And then just a short end of it was in my senior year of playing collegiate soccer. I ended up through the course of one season fracturing both ankles, which pretty much crippled me. God will knock your hip out of joint to get your attention. And at that point, I had to shut up and listen. And God spoke to me. It was simple. You're not sold out. I said, what? Yeah, you need to submit everything, your dreams, your ideas, your plans, all those things that you hope to do. You need to surrender it to me because my plan is much better than your plan. My ways are much higher than your ways, and my thoughts for you, they're much higher and they're better than the thoughts that you have. You're human, I'm God, and he's a good God. And so I want to encourage you today to let go of everything. Oh, I turned out okay. I'm just thankful for God's plan. I'm so glad I'm with you rather than kicking a soccer ball around. And I'm not mad at the soccer players. Don't get me wrong. Soccer's great, still my favorite sport. But what's great is being in the will of God and letting him be the savior of your life. It's just saying, God, now I belong to you. I'm sold out. So I want to pray for you right now. And I want you to lay down everything that you've held on for yourself and watch what God does in your life. Pray this prayer with me. Dear God, I stand here today and I surrender my life. Forgive me, Jesus, for trying to do things my way. Thank you for dying on the cross for all of my sins. I believe in you. I believe you're my Savior. Make me a new person. I lay down my plans. God, what do you want? I submit to you. I let it all go. Make me a new person. You lead me. Give me victory. Bring healing to my heart. In your name I pray. Amen. Real quick. Hold on, everybody. Prayer team, get to someone real quick. Just rest a hand on a shoulder. The prayer team I've asked, they're just going to stand beside you. wherever they can get. Church, just extend your hand. I'm going to pray for them. God, I thank you for your presence. I thank you, Jesus. These are your people who you love. You have looked upon us and you love us. And you've called us unto yourself. We will not walk out disheartened, but we know that our lives belong to you. And in your hands, there's grace. And in your loving hands, there's peace. And you are our hope, our greatest hope. God, I thank you for your presence. I thank you for my brothers and sisters that have come forward. Lord, I pray that you would heal those that have been wounded and hurt. I pray the strength of your spirit would fall upon every single person that's here, that they would know you to be not just God, but a good God, a great God, a loving Father. Thank you, Jesus. We're not going out disheartened, Lord God. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. In your precious name I pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hey, now, listen, there's no rush. Okay, you take your time and just remain in the presence of God. If the Lord's still working some things out in your heart, you can stay up here. The prayer team is here to pray with you. I always love to do this. I love to invite you to come back to our 1 o'clock service. It's a service where we just talk about the basics of faith in Jesus Christ. It's a time where we answer your questions. And I encourage you to come if you can make it out again next Sunday. But the prayer team is here. And anybody else who just still needs prayer in the house, the prayer team will hang out and they'll pray for you. Amen. God bless you. I just want to pray for you in close as you go home. Lord God, I just thank you and I just give you the glory and the honor. Keep us safe, Lord, as we go home tonight. Lord, I'm just asking in your precious name that there would be true healing and rest for every soul that has said yes to you tonight. We're letting go of everything that we've tried to handle in our own strength. And God, now our strength is in you. Be glorified in every life now, fully surrendered. In your name I pray, amen.